Good morning, and pleased to have all of you here with us this morning. On Tuesday nights, we have a youth class, and the young people are beginning a study of the book of Proverbs. So we're going to be talking about God's wisdom in that study. You know, the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter both contrast the wisdom of God with, James. James and the Apostle Paul contrast the wisdom of God and the wisdom of men, the wisdom of this world. The wise man in the Proverbs just contrasts wisdom and foolishness. And of course, it's understood as you study through that you're receiving the wisdom of God, and those who reject the wisdom of God are foolish in doing that. I thought it would be good for us to have a couple of studies in this service and in the 10:50 service that sort of undergird our beginning of a study on God's wisdom. I stumbled over something a couple of years ago that's going to be the basis for our study this morning. And it was a sign that was being held by a girl in some sort of a meeting. She wanted to make a point. Morality is doing what's right regardless of what you're told. And obedience is doing what you're told regardless of what is right. Well, that's a catchy little phrase. And it was nice that she held the sign up. And I would say in certain contexts, I would agree with her. But she didn't come up with that herself. There was a fellow by the name of H.L. Mencken who actually coined that expression. He was born in 1880, died in 1956. He was an American journalist, essayist, satirist. He was sort of a renowned atheist. He often ridiculed Christians who believed in creation instead of evolution and so forth. But he's the one who came up with this phrase, and she thought it was good and appropriate for the moment, I guess, and made her sign and held it up. I thought we would spend a few minutes in this service sort of breaking that down and looking at it, seeing what's good about it and maybe what's erroneous about the way Mr. Mencken worded that. It seems that his maxims sort of disassociate morality from obedience. And there are times when what is truly moral is not what you're being told to do. So there may be times when it's appropriate not to tie those two together. But his theme seems to be, I would rather be right than obedient. And I guess that's true, but it depends on who you're talking to and who's telling you what to do, okay? It would be with less controversy for me if we simply left off the later phrases and said morality is doing what is right and obedience is doing what you're told to do. That's without controversy. I think all of us can agree on that. And so if men are the ones who are telling you what to do, then Mencken may be right because men often tell us to do things that really aren't right. What men tell us and what is truly right and wrong don't always match up. Right? And so, morality is doing what's right, even if men are telling you to do wrong, and obedience is moral only when men are telling you what is right, okay? And so, this really plays in strongly into our discussion of the book of Proverbs and God's wisdom. If God is the one who is telling us what to do, then it becomes a whole different story. And of course, that possibility didn't exist in the mind of Mencken. He not only did not believe he had the evidence to suggest that there is a God, he firmly opposed any belief in a creator, in the God that the Bible described. He was a fervent non-believer, and again, he often ridiculed Christians in his writings. So that's the man that coined the phrase that we're considering this morning. Without God, men telling you what to do can be problematic. Men tell us a lot of things that are wrong. You know, Paul emphasized that over in Romans chapter 1 when he was describing the plight of the Gentiles. And in verse 21, he said, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God nor give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools." And that's what happens when men go it on their own and propose to be able to to define what is right and wrong with no divine guidance. They're going to end up in the dark, and they're going to end up making fools of themselves. It was true in Paul's day, and it's true today. Men will tell us a lot of things. Now, one thing we need to talk about is how an atheist like me can even talk about morality and what's right and wrong. He says morality is doing what is right, and that's sort of confusing to me, because I really wonder where Mencken would get his ideas of what is wrong and what is right. If you believe in Darwinian evolution as Mencken did, then every one of us, every individual here, is an unintended, undesigned being. We're just products of a series of happy and impossible accidents over millions of years. And so the end result are beings that now we can communicate with each other. We can talk about right and wrong. We can visualize the concept of right and wrong. But I would maintain that there's not an undesigned, unintended being that has any right to point to any other undesigned, unintended being and say, I think what you're doing is wrong, and I think what I'm doing is right. Based on what? And I'll tell you, you can think in your mind, and we're not going to go through any and talk out loud about it, but you think in your mind of the most despicable things that you see in the news of people doing to other people, and you say, well, surely all of us can agree that's horrible, but you know what? There's somebody in the world that likes to do that. There's somebody in the world that will tell you, I don't see anything wrong with that. And you can call them a psychopath, but the fact is, you have no right to wag your finger in their face if you're a product of accidental evolution and say, I think you're despicable and wrong to do that. And they can say, well, I don't, and the argument's over. You have no basis. You can't point to anything and say, this says that's inherently wrong, because frankly, we're all just sort of making it up as we go. Who's going to decide for me what's right and wrong? Mr. Mencken? I don't think so. Without God, morality becomes nonsense, the whole concept. There's no such thing as morality. And that is the dark, horrible secret behind atheism and Darwinian evolution. The only slogans that really make sense to an atheist is morality is doing what you think is right. I guess in his mind, that's the only thing that would make any sense. Morality is doing what you think is right. And then obedience is a transaction of submission that you agree to, only it's when to your advantage. And so you go to work for somebody, and for 40 hours a week, he gets to boss you around and tell you what to do. But at the end of the week, he gives you a paycheck, and you look at the size of that paycheck, and you said, all of that obedience and submission was worth that money. It's a transaction. And every situation in life comes down to transaction. And that's why we see so many people who have no foundation, no anchor that we sang about a while ago, no moorings, who are just taking every situation in life as it comes. And if it looks, transactionally speaking, it looks like as to my best interest to go do that, I'm going to jump in and do it. Who's going to tell me I'm wrong? There are too many people in our society living their lives that way. There is a God. Now, we don't have the time this morning to establish all of these facts, but I will tell you, God does exist. And the reason I'm listing these, because it builds a case. If you look at the evidence and you come to the conclusion that this list of premises are true, then you come up with a being who has the inherent right to tell me what to do and to tell you what to do. If God does exist, if he created all things by speaking the word, if he created all life, including us, if he is all powerful and all knowing and ever all present, and he revealed his will to us, he let us know what he wants from us. And he's going to one day hold each of us accountable for the decisions we've made based on his expressed will. Because of all this, he has ultimate authority in all things, and he alone is the one who has the inherent right to say, this is right and that's wrong. And when he says it, this is always right and this is always wrong. And it doesn't matter what men think about it. Now, the fact that Mencken doesn't believe that, he doesn't start with the original premise. He doesn't believe that God exists. But I will tell you, there's a being who created us, and the evidence is overwhelming. And because of that, I'm accountable to him. And if he tells me what is right and wrong, that becomes the end of the discussion. Morality is doing what is right, and what God tells you is always right. Therefore, morality is always doing what God tells you. I don't think there's any If somebody has studied logic to a greater degree than I have, you want to talk to me after the service. If I'm missing something in that string of logic, you let me know, but I can't see any other way. If God is always right and God tells me what is right and wrong, then morality is always doing what God has defined as right and wrong. There's a great irony, and that is that God in his wisdom made submission to certain legitimate human authorities as being necessary to please him. And so when you talk about obeying God, when you talk about doing what God says is right and wrong, and God says it is right for you to obey civil authority because they are there to punish evildoers and protect the innocent, then that becomes part of my mission in this life. It's not simply, well, I only obey God and doesn't matter what any man says. I can't please God with that kind of attitude. And so we could sort of change the phrase a little bit, maybe come up with a maxim that fits the teaching of Scripture better. Morality is always doing what God says and what legitimate human authority says when there's no conflict. Now, when there's a conflict, we have to obey God rather than men. We understand that. Peter made that clear. But when there's no conflict, morality is always doing what God says and obeying legitimate authority when there's no conflict between the two. And so Mencken says morality is doing what is right regardless of what you're told. Obedience is doing what is told regardless of what is right. I would agree with him when men are telling me things that are wrong and I choose not to obey them. Okay? But divine wisdom says morality is always doing what God says and what legitimate human authority says when there's no conflict. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 3:18 and 19, if any man among you thinks he is wise in this age, he must become foolish so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God. We saw that in Romans chapter 1. And the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God. People head off on their own. The American humanist society has a core, a team of people, and they sit down and look at different courses of action and say, well, if we say this is acceptable, here's the end result in society and how many people benefit and how many people might be hurt. And they go through all this and they come up with their maxims to live by. That's I'm glad they're making the effort. If they're going to be atheists, I'm glad they're making the effort. But you know what? When it comes right down to it, their creator has already told them what is good and bad, right and wrong. And they really ought to accept that. The atheist says morality is doing what is right. By whose standards? That's an important question. Obedience is doing what you're told. But there's no compelling reason to do that unless there's some transactional advantage to a person. Right? But when God tells us what to do, it is universal, it's unchanging standard for us. And what was right and wrong, good and bad for the Apostle Paul is right and wrong, good, bad for John McKee in the 21st century. And we can bank on that. We can stand on that with confidence. We obey legitimate human authority because it maintains order. God knows what he's doing. And that's to our benefit to be able to live in a society that is ordered. But when there is conflict between the two, we know who we're going to obey. We're going to obey God rather than men. Well, that sort of introduces our thinking for today. The wisdom of God and the wisdom of men. And there's often conflict between the two. One thing we're going to talk about in our 1050 service is that the scriptures are still just as valid for us today as they were when they were written 2,000 years ago. 3,500 years ago. Not an obsolete set of writings at all. We need it badly. Because one thing the scriptures do is to reveal to us how we can become pleasing to God in the first place. We've sinned against him. We've separated ourselves from God by our sins. Isaiah 59:1-2. And we need to be reconciled to the Father. And the only way for that to be possible is if the price for sin is paid and God provided his own sacrifice in doing that. Jesus shed his blood on the cross. So that now I can repent of my past sins. You can repent of your past sins. You can confess Christ as Lord of your life. You can be baptized into Christ to put on a relationship with Christ. And when you do that, all your sins can be forgiven, can be remitted, taken away. You can be a child of God today. And then spend the rest of your life striving to live by divine wisdom, not human wisdom. and to be the kind of person God wants you to be. If it's your desire to become a Christian this morning, we would love to help you with that, baptize you into Christ. If you're a Christian and there's sin in your life, John made it clear that we can go to God and confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, if we're sincere about that. If there's sin in your life, don't allow that to continue. You need to go to God and take care of that. Repent of those things. And if there's something as fellow Christians that we can do to help you and encourage you in some way, we would love to do that. If you're subject to the invitation this morning, come forward and let us know while we stand together and sing.
Thy cross with me.